Parshas Vayera, when it comes to the first Makkah, we find that Hashem said to Moshe, "Say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the rivers, over the canals, over the reservoirs, and over all the gatherings of water, and they shall become blood. There shall be blood throughout the land of Egypt, even in the wooden and stone vessels." Moshe and Aaron did so, as Hashem commanded. He held the staff, struck the water that was in the river in the presence of Pharaoh, and everything turned into blood. Very famous Chazal that Rashi brings down. Chazal tell us, Aaron, not Moshe, was designated to strike the river, since the river had protected the infant Moshe when his mother placed him upon it. It would have been wrong for him to be the instrument to inflict a plague upon it, albeit it was 80 years previous. If the Torah considers it wrong to show ingratitude to an inanimate object, river, surely one must be zealous never to slight a human being. Afshadvarim biyusodam mifursamim. Noti emek haparsha. This Rashi is very well known. We have looked at this Rashi in the past. Ach I afshar lavor parsha zu v'lo litakev al yan kol kach yusodi u'malti b'chayav shel kol yudi. Even though we know it, we just can't, you know, glance right over and say, oh yeah, check, know it. We have to stop, examine it, remind ourselves of this, because this is one of the most fundamental principles of a Jew. And we call this Mita Hakar Satov, giving, acknowledging gratitude. And he says, obviously, the Ein Beis HaMedrash Melo Chiddush, obviously we'll learn something new here. We'll see some of the ideas perhaps we've seen before, but obviously we'll look at things from a different vantage point. We'll see new insights, and obviously the goal is to gain for our lives. If the overall question is, what is so special about Hakar Satov? How do we integrate Hakar Satov, this gratitude? What do we learn about this Hakar Satov, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't strike the Nile, nor the for the lice, the ground, because the ground, the sand, was he was able to bury the Mitzri that he killed, that also protected him. So, what do we learn from this for our lives? That's the overall issue we're to deal with. The more specific, Notzi Emek HaParsha, is the fact that it's so detailed of what bodies of water, the canals, the reservoirs, the rivers, the Nile, that Aaron had to strike. Why not just say all the bodies of water? What is all the specifics of all this water? And the Pasuk says, Moshe and Aaron did so as Hashem commanded. Well, hold on a second. Only Aaron did so, not Moshe. Moshe didn't do so. So why does it say that both of them did so when only Aaron did as was told? Vayasuke Moshe v'Aaron kashir tziva Hashem. I just try to look at this on two levels. Level number one will focus in on primarily the individual and one's responsibility towards gratitude. And the second level will be looking more at the parameters of to what extent we need to have gratitude to be able to see the magnitude of this mita. Let's start with the individual person themselves, and we'll really build a mindset. We'll begin Rabbi Wallerstein, Rabbi Finkelstein, Let There Be Rain, a very, very special sefer that goes really day by day, where you see in every parsha where you have Hakar Satov. He brings down, which many of the Mepharshim brings down, Rav Dessler. And he says, however, notes Rav Dessler, the plagues resulted, source 4, in a great Kiddush Hashem, for they demonstrated Hashem's all-encompassing power. Ostensibly, there should have been a reason for Moshe specifically to raise the staff and bring about this Kiddush Hashem through these elements. Rav Dessler explains that the development of our midos is not limited to what we understand intellectually. Midos development is deeply intertwined with our regesh, with our emotions. And our emotions are greatly affected by our actions. True, the end result of the plagues was the Kiddush Hashem, and whether the water, and neither the water nor the sand had any need or knowledge of Moshe Rabbeinu's Hakar Satov, right? They're inanimate. They wouldn't even know the difference. But had Moshe Rabbeinu raised his staff and hit the water and sand from which he had benefited, that action would have had a negative impact on him in an emotional sense. It would have adversely affected his mitzvah of akarsato, which we, as we've seen, is one of the most basic mitzvos in one's service of Hashem and avodas Hashem. Rav Volpe, echoing this idea, he says in Source 5a, a refined person maintains a certain level of respect toward anything he comes in contact with, regardless of what it is. This is about refinement. This is about the personality of a Ben Torah, of a person connected to avodas Hashem. You know, Chazal tell us similarly, we find in 5b, a similar idea with regard to the halacha of bizui ochlin, disgracing food. There are several actions that may not be done with food because they constitute a disgrace to the food. So, you've gained from the food, you've enjoyed the food, so you have to treat it in a proper way, right? You can't have bread lying on the ground. I mean, just, there's a bizui ochlin, that there's a sensitivity that we have. We benefit from something, we have to treat it accordingly. Although food has no feelings, we must refrain from degrading it for our own sake. Because as human beings, we must behave in a consistently dignified manner. And that's the key. How do we behave in a dignified manner? It's being sensitive to that which we benefit from. In a similar vein, when Rav Dessler would don his hat, he would not grab it with one hand and place it on his head. He would respectfully pick it up with both of his hands. We know, by the way, this is parenthetically, this is the difference between the Hasidic hats and the Litvish hats. The Litvish hats have a knetch. They have like a pinch inside the hat, because that's the way people would take off their hat, put it on their hat, and that was why it has it there, that you can take it off and take it on, and that was what was done in wherever these hats stem from. The Hasidic hats don't have this because they don't want to follow the ways of the world, that taking it off and taking it on. That's what I heard. Check it out. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. Rav Dessler, instead of just picking up the hat, picked up the hat with two hands, again showing respect. And says Rav Volpe, we might not be on the level of picking up our hat with both hands, but there are definitely things we treat cavalierly that might deserve a bit more respect. Moreover, if we accustom ourselves to treating inanimate objects with respect, we'll certainly not be careless with respect owed to our family, friends, neighbors, and colleagues. Let's, my friends, try to develop this idea of Rav Dessler a little bit deeper. The idea that we're affected by both our regesh and our seichel, and this is what is the determining factor in Akaras HaTov. I'll just make mention before we begin our study that Rabbi Fuss and Yakut Yosef Lekach brings an idea that the Pinyanei Das also brings. So this is beginning of 7 as well as 8. It's an idea we have seen in the past, developed in the past, so I just want to make mention of it now, but not go down there today. And that is, there is this idea that every chefetz, every object, has like a star, has like an angel that is directly above it. Just like there are atoms and electrons in the physical objects, so there is an energy that every object has, which is connected to a malach. So when we're saying being sensitive to this object, albeit it's not sensitive to this object as much as sensitivity to the angel or the spiritual force, which is directly above this object. So again, we've discussed this in the past. I'm just making mention of it. This is not the direction we're going today, as fascinating as it is. Let's go back to the idea of the Seichel and the Regesh. And the Rav Eifus quotes the Nachal Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Diskin, who says, Aleinu Ladad in the Arrow in 7, Sha'adam Mushpa Mishnei Kochot HaMitzuyim Bo, there are two things that we're impacted by, our Seichel, our intellect, and our Regesh, and our emotions. Because we are wired on this emotional level, it does affect us if we don't show the proper, again, gratitude, sensitivity to these inanimate objects. And the model that he gives of the power of the emotions is the famous Chazal, Haroa Sota Bekilkula. Someone sees a sota in her moment of disgrace, will stay away from wine, and that's the connection between Parshat Sota and Parshat Nosik. So we take a look at this. Intellectually, logically, you see a woman who's been disgraced, and it's clearly usually coming from a person who's had too much to drink, becomes loose, and then does things that are inappropriate. So intellectually and logically, you say, whoa, I would never like to be in this place. I am going to stay away from anything that's going to lead me there. That's the intellectual mindset. It doesn't even come into your purview. I don't want to even get anywhere near there. Emotionally, you're drawn somehow to this woman. Or being in a disgrace, the whole experience affects you. And you become emotionally traumatized almost from it. And the result has to be that you have to respond to it. You have to do something about it. And he says here, and this is the key point, Ki le'olam ein ladad ad kama mareh einayim vanagat ha'sviva mashpim al adam. We don't know how much of the environment and what we see affects us. And we don't even realize. We don't even realize that we see something and we're drawn to it and we think about it and it becomes part of us. And we have to take a real stance and do something. Not just say, oh, I would never get near there. No, that intellectual decision is not going to be sufficient. You have to take real action because there's something drawing you to that experience that is breaking or losing a person's equilibrium. And you have to take a proactive step and say, I'm staying away from wine. We know this, my friends. You know those movies that have that 1 second popcorn and Coke in the middle, and then everyone goes and buys the popcorn and Coke. You remember the old movie theaters? I don't know if they even still exist today. Everyone has their handheld Netflix. This is what affects you. This is what you're drawn to. And you don't even realize it. It's subconscious. You go out and buy Coke and popcorn. This is what happens to us in our lives. There's so much that it just goes, you know, past the intellect, straight into the wiring of the emotional world, that we are affected. And we have to recognize that effect that it has on us, and it impacts us. And this is why he says, a person has to be so careful of the hitchabrut l'tarbut shel haruchot, of being affected by the culture around us. And hence, at the end of 9, we can appreciate when the Medrash says that there were 3 things that were the schus, that were the merit that Klai Yisrael left Egypt. They maintained their identity by not changing their name, by changing their language, by not changing their dress. That is what kept them intact. Why is that so important? Because it gave them that tsura, emotionally. Like, I know who I am. I dress differently. My name is different. The fact that the Goyim can't pronounce my name, you know what? They can't pronounce the Chinese people's name, and they don't change their names. Why are we so sensitive? Right? We have to stand for who we are when we have that ability to say, this is who I am. This is my language. My language is not just the Hebrew language. It's the way I speak. I speak with refinement. I'm not going to be drawn to the language of the street. I'm able to maintain on the emotional level a protective wall about who and what I am, and that is what enabled them to be saved. Rabosai, this is the world we're living in. The world of Hakaras HaTov, gratitude to the inanimate object because it affects me emotionally, and we'll develop this gratitude in a minute, but just to take this side road, which is equally as fascinating, know that we are wired to be impacted by what we see and what we hear, even if intellectually we say, ugh, I would never do that. Me? You gotta be crazy. I can watch this. It won't have any effect on me. You know, someone was just telling me last week about this, I don't even know what it is, this reality show called The Unorthodox Woman, and how it has drawn so many people, unfortunately, into this woman who's really bringing many people to question their own Yiddishkeit. So a person, I'm not advocating you should go see what it is. Please don't. I don't want to take that responsibility. But if you know what I'm talking about. So people might watch it and say, I want to watch it so I know what to answer. I want to watch it because it's not going to affect me because I'm strong in my beliefs. Wrong. That's what we're saying. That's the idea of the Sota. Things like this impact. The way she dresses, the way she talks. There is that pull that we're not even aware of consciously. And because of this subconscious level that we're affected by our emotional reality, we have to be so careful to be able to wire that emotional reality in the positive way. And how do we do that? By a Hakaras HaTov. By showing the inanimate object sensitivity, putting on that hat with two hands, taking care of the objects in our house and not just having it fly around, that sensitivity builds in us being a more sensitive person, being a more kind person. And that, in the positive way, is what we have to build. This, my friends, is developed, this proactive positive, in a new sefer for us, be able to align with our friends in Montreal, Sichas Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Weinberg, where he says in source number 10, Ulama inyan hi, shemidos ha'adam hem kelim adinim v'rikishim ma'ot. This is where it's at. Our midos, who we are very, very sensitive. V'chol pu'ula u'pu'ula sh'adam hoseh, hein tova v'hein ra'a. Everything that we do, the good and the not so good, mashpi'ol midos shelo, it impacts us. V'hu nifal kifi pu'losav, and we're affected by what we do. Even after the act is long gone, the impression is still there, and it affects us. And we develop from this. Kigon, for example, you do an act of kindness, there is an impression of chesed in you, and you become a more sensitive person. You just look at the world in a more sensitive way. And if you get angry, so even when the anger leaves, that anger still maintains something in you, and you're going to respond a little bit more quickly the next time. You'll have a little bit more patience with the next person. There is an effect. We have to understand the way our psychologically we are wired. Here's the example that he gives. It's an example we can appreciate in Eretz Yisrael a lot. Bus drivers are only allowed to pick up passengers at the bus stop. If they pick up passengers who are running and they stop, you know, a little bit past, they can get a fine for that. And the reason, perhaps, the way they say it is, you're going to keep on stopping, and then there's no end, and then the bus routes then, you know, get messed up, and the timing, and there are other passengers on the bus, etc., etc. So he says, okay, the bus driver is driving the bus, and there's a person running. And the person's banging on the doors, and he doesn't let him in. Okay, he's following protocol. No, Mr. Bus Driver, or Mrs. Bus Driver, or other bus driver today, know that, albeit this is what you had to do, know, though, that it can affect you. It's going to affect you that when you're in your house, you're not going to act with that same type of kindness. So, okay, my friends, we may not be driving buses. We may be driving buses. I have no idea. At the same time, we may be in a job that calls for discipline. I just had this now. I went to the Merkaz, and there's no parking in the center Shabbos area. I was trying to find... Sorry, long story. And... So I pull up in a red and white zone. There are two lanes. I pull up, and I have my daughter run out to four different stores. Yeah, three different stores. And I'm saying to him, and a policewoman comes over to me and starts screaming at me, "What do you think you're doing?" I said, she says, "You know, who are you to stop all traffic?" Like, you know. I said, "You're right. At the same time, the two lanes are merging into one, so I'm really not blocking traffic. So I'm not really blocking traffic." And I made sure I wasn't blocking traffic. So she looks at me, she says, "There's still a red and white zone, right?" Okay, you're right. It was a red and white zone. Granted, I moved on. A person has a job like that, who shows no rachmanos, right? Gives up parking tickets all day. And again, you'll figure out whatever your job is. Okay, that's what your job is. Your job is to yell at nice women who are saying Tehillim on Erev Shabbos. Fine, no problem about that. That's your job. Be careful when you get home. Be careful how you treat your kids. Be careful how you interact with others. And that's how we have to understand that we need to recognize that what we do, albeit it's what we get paid for, has an impact on us. And that's why the Kasher Adam will say, Maaseh Sheish B'Bechina Misiyem Eshel Choser Karat HaTov. If a person does something which shows a little bit of lack of gratitude, Nishar B'Nav Shoksat Roshim HaMaaseh Zeh, it impacts you. So if Moshe Rabbeinu would have hit the Nile, so he's hitting a Nile. This was 80 years ago. He was a baby. It would have impacted him. And we have to recognize that which we do impacts us. He brings, as another example, he brings the example of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, which we'll leave for now. He brings another example at the end of 11 and 12. And I'll be honest with you, I was so excited to see this. There are very few things that really bother me enough that it bothers me that I'm bothered by it. And you'll think about that. And it shouldn't bother you. It's my issue. And one of those is the end of the Kriya Satorah on Rosh Hashanah first day. We read about Hagar being sent out with Ishmael, and he cries out, and the whole idea of Vasher Husham, where you're at, and Hashem judges you where you're at. I got it. I got the picture. Hashem Pakar et Sarah, the birth of Yitzchak Avinu, Hashem remembering. Got it. Rosh Hashanah, good. But why doesn't it end there? It then goes on to talk about a bris, a covenant between Avraham Avinu and Avimelech, and he gives them gifts, and he gives them sheep, and they make a bris there, and they make a covenant. So, like, what is this doing on Rosh Hashanah? And for years, I've been bothered by this until I saw this piece, and I felt like making a Suda Soda to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for enlightening me and showing me the way. And he says, after Avraham Avinu sent away Yitzchak Avinu, it was the ninth test, according to many people, And Avraham Avinu Mita is chesed. And to send Yishmael away, who was, according to some, he was sick, and send him into the desert with just some bread and water, it affected Avraham Avinu. He felt like his Mita of chesed, his attribute of kindness, was affected. And therefore, he went off right away to see he could do an act of chesed. And that's what he did right here. Avamikol Mokom. Hayas a negative Hashem Ravinu. It was against his aspect. Hayal Avravinu Chashash in the bracket 12, bold underline. Shema Yidei Pula Shalom Niknetab and Avshok Stabbing Midgar Achzarios. He was afraid that perhaps Avravinu on his level, that some aspect of Achzarios cruelty entered into him, and his mita of chesed, his mita of kindness, was affected. Immediately did a bris, did chesed with Avimelech, even though he wasn't deserving of it, modeling a Kodesh Baruch Hu who does even to us who don't deserve it, because by going to the extreme of chesed and emulating Hashem, v'lo yishe'er baroshem shel hefech miseh, it won't. He won't have that achzarios, that cruelty in him. And what a message for Rosh Hashanah! The message of Rosh Hashanah of how careful we have to be with the life that Hashem has given us. That's Rosh Hashanah. We're being judged on this day. How careful we have to be to ensure that we emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu and treat this neshama with such sensitivity that if we do something, albeit we have to do it with strength, with midas hadin, immediately go out of our way to do something midas hachesed, and what a model for us on behavior and on avodas Hashem every Rosh Hashanah. Okay, now that I shared this wonderful moment with you, let's summarize what we've seen till now. Hakaras HaTov, major theme of the parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu has to be careful not to strike the Nile, not to strike the earth that hid the Mitzri that he killed, that he was buried, able to bury him in it. And this Rav Dessler is that we are affected by our regesh, by our wiring of our emotional sense know we are affected by what we see and what we experience, and how careful we have to be to act in a certain way, because from the outside world it affects us, and from our active world, what we do affects us. So again, if you see something negative, immediately you have to be able to, you know, do something positive that's going to somehow offset this negativity, and recognize that we have to live a life in balance. And we don't even realize, you know, like when your back is whacked out, you know, oh my gosh, I can't stand. Well, do we look at our emotional aspect, how whacked out it is, and to try to live a life of balance? Now, there's another upshot of a life of Hakarsa Tov. One is, it inculcates within us a sensitivity, this ability to be a Baal Chesed, a giving person, a sensitive person. But it goes even beyond that. Notes the Emek HaParshan 14. Midvarim Eilu Olam HaShmot Nosefa L'Midan HaKarsa Tov. There's another aspect that comes as a result of HaKarsa Tov. HaKarad HaTov Eino Rak Em Sa'id L'Dragel L'Akir Tova L'Kut Shabrichu L'Libok Baba Ava. It's not just a means, as we'll talk about in a minute, to connect to Hashem. Elehi Gam HaChinuch L'Yod Anshei Chesed HaMumakdim B'Nesina. You know, another aspect of being sensitive to show gratitude, you become a giving type of person and not a taking type of person. Again, this is Rav Dessler in his Kuntras HaChesed, very famous, 15. What is the nature of gratitude and thanksgiving? What is the origin in the human psyche? And whence comes that ingratitude, which is the affliction of so many of the human race? Here too, you may recognize the giver and the taker. The giver feels profoundly that he must reject free gifts. The desire of his being is to give, not to draw to himself things that are outside him. Consequently, when he does receive anything from anyone else, he's immediately prompted to give something equivalent in return. If he's unable to do this in kind, his heart urges him to repay by giving happiness to that person by way of thanks and appreciation. The taker, on the other hand, wants to learn to draw to himself as much as he can. Getting something for nothing is the raison d'etre. In his heart of hearts, he believes, here's the key, my friends, I want to be developing now, that everything is his. Everything and everyone are there for his sake. And that's why when he receives a favor from his friend, he does not feel an obligation to express it. He takes it for granted that people should do things. And even when he, perhaps, in a perfunctory way, says thank you, it's not really meaning it. It's really a thank you that the person should do more for him in the future. This is the difference between the giver and the taker. One who really feels indebted to somebody is somebody who appreciates what is given and doesn't take it for granted. Such a person is in the mindset of giving and not of taking. And we have to ask ourselves, are we a giver or taker? To sum up, true gratitude derives from the power of giving, while ingratitude is spawned by the power of taking. With this in mind, my friends, let's develop this a little bit deeper, and now let's take it not only in our interpersonal relationships, but move it to our relationship with Hashem as well. I'd like to learn together a very beautiful piece from Shari Derech Rav Freiman, and he says, 16, V'inei min hamida hazu hanovat, novat chusha amuka umechayevet shel hakar satov klapei borei yisparach. When you start showing gratitude for everyone around you, you start not taking things for granted. And when you don't take things for granted, you recognize that Hashem is HaMeitiv Imanu B'chol Eidu V'chol Shah, Tavot Dolo Radich Ein Cheker, that Hashem grants us much goodness at every moment. And we recognize that we need to thank Hashem for this. And that's why he says, if someone has it, like, is impervious to this, it doesn't recognize the goodness others do to him, you're not going to recognize, this is a bracket in 16, all the goodness that Hashem does to us. And this is what Chazal tell us, if you deny the goodness that's done to your friend, well, in the end, you'll deny the goodness that Hashem does to you. Our obligation is, wherever we are found, to be able to see all of the myriads of chesed that Hashem does for us at all times, and be able to stop being so critical of that which is around us and just be full of appreciation. So they didn't do everything for you, but they did a lot for you. Say thank you. Right? Be able to appreciate them. You don't deserve anything. Right? You ask somebody a favor and they did part of the favor, not all the favor. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done. I appreciate it. You're missing this and what about that? And appreciate. Be a person who is not a Magiali attitude. I deserve everything. And he says, why is this so important? He says, Kimisha Lohi Tragel Bavudazu, you spoke several rounds. 17. One who isn't working on showing gratitude and appreciation is going to suffer. For example, Lumashal, Kashira Chamishifel Tavur Tsunotav Lohi Mashashu. Something they really want doesn't come to fruition. It's going to bring them to questioning their Amunah because they daven to God. And how could it be that Hashem didn't fulfill their request? Because obviously Hashem should give me everything that I want. The kivyachov HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshubar Chalilu Ritzonol Choyavlo. It's as if, God forbid, God is, you know, indebted to this person, has to do this. V'imishamayim lo notanim lo mishalot libo. If from heaven they don't give you what you're asking for, you're just, you know, kicking all the goodness Hashem does. You don't realize that everything of the positive, like, oh, God doesn't do anything for me, and you just get angry. And you don't realize in the double squiggly, double underlined, you don't realize and appreciate that the challenges themselves are for our good. My friends, this piece is really was a driving force in preparing today's shiur. Just to give a bit of a background, when teaching the last 2 weeks, so you have to have kivui, you have to have desire, you have to never give up, and you have to realize that Hashem answers our tefillos, and you have to plug forward and kavel Hashem chazak ve'emetzimecha v'kavel Hashem. So in one of my shiurim, a woman asked this very question. He said, you know, you could be davening, and Hashem doesn't answer. So like, you know, like, what do you mean you should always keep on hoping and keep on hoping? He's not there. And this is the answer. Of course He's there. And the mindset of, well, He doesn't answer me, like, you know, He doesn't care, or He's not there, or where's my Amunah? It's coming from, on a deeper level, my friends. Obviously, there's disappointment and all these emotions. But on a deeper level, it's coming from, of course I deserved it. Well, God gives it to everyone else, why doesn't He give it to me? And that's, again, a taker attitude. That's about the world is here for me. If you look at the world as not being here for me, but for me to give, and for me to appreciate all that I am given, so instead of focusing in on what I don't have, I focus in on what I do have. You know, Hashem, I really wanted this. At the same time, if you're not giving it to me, I'm going to appreciate all that you do give to me, and I'm going to hope one day that perhaps you will give it to me, and in the meantime, I'm going to hope and yearn and recognize that while I don't have this, it's for growth-oriented purposes. This is what I need at this particular time. And this is the dynamics here. It starts with appreciating what people do for you. It starts with appreciating the small things in life. And appreciating the small things and that I don't really deserve anything, you're able to move this to Hashem. And clearly, the model of this in 18 is the beginning of Parashat Shemot, where it says that Vayaka Melech Hadash Asher Lo Yada Yosef. A new king came who didn't know Yosef. What do you mean he didn't know Yosef? Of course he knew Yosef. He didn't want to appreciate all that Yosef did. He was one who denied the goodness. Is it any wonder that that same language is used when he says, Mi Hashem, lo yadati et Hashem, I don't know God. One who says, I don't know Yosef, is going to say, I don't know God. Because they're not able to stand for the appreciation that we do have. One of the models for this that the Shari Derech brings in 19 is the Sefer Chinuch. The Sefer Chinuch speaks about, you take a look at the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, honoring one's parents, and it's very much about appreciating and recognizing all the good that a parent does for a child, and not to take anything for granted. And then, to then move that, and oftentimes, as far as say, that our relationship with our parents is really a stepping stone for our relationship with God. Right? Aim from the word Amunah. That a mother is really the one who teaches us about belief in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Imun, the belief, the faith. And that relationship is that I understand and I appreciate that all that my parents do for me, they don't have to do this for me. It's just chesed kol hayom. They do kindness for me all day. Hashem does kindness for me all day, and I need to have the same level of appreciation. The final idea he brings in this maimer, in this essay that I'd like to focus in on, is the Gemara in Brachos that says in source 20, Oreach tov mahu omer, what does a proper guest say? Kama tirchol tarach balabai bishvili. Oh, how much the host has done for me. He brought me all this meat and all this wine and all this bread and v'chol ma shetarach lo tarach lo bishvili, and he did this all for me. I really, really appreciate this. That's one guest. Then there's another guest. Avov oreach ra mahu omer. What does a bad guest say? Ma tarach tarach balabai. It's a parach arach halti. What do you mean? Did so much for me? I ate a little slice of bread, a little piece of chicken. He did it for himself. He just gave me a leftover piece. Like, I'm going to thank him? Rabosai, our question we have to ask ourselves is, what type of personality are we? Are we the good guest? Are we the bad guest? Do we appreciate every single thing that a person does for us? And literally, as a guest, right, we're at somebody's house, wow, the salad is so well made. I love the dressing and the way you presented it and this and that, right? You want people to appreciate every single thing, not, oh, you were making it anyway. And we know, as hostesses, like I remember once, beginning and end, I made some type of quinoa salad from Mishpacha. Oh my gosh, I couldn't even find the ingredients. And I, oh gosh, it took everything out of me. Okay. And I had guests. I made it for guests. It was Sukkot. And I had a lot of guests. Not one person complimented me on the salad. Okay, it was probably pretty bad. But I'm like, never again. Like, if you're not even going to appreciate it, what's it worth? This is us, my friends. We know how much appreciation goes. And how far it goes. And forget the quinoa salad. Let's talk about all that Hashem does for us. Do we appreciate? Thank you, Hashem, for the air we breathe. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. One of the exciting projects I've been speaking about, I know it's been a while. It's anything good is worth waiting for. I've been working on the Sefer on Birkos HaShachar. And that's what Birkos HaShachar is about. Birkos HaShachar is about, like, not taking anything for granted. And, like, one of the things I've started to do when saying the bracha of Malbi Sharumi, right, that we thank Hashem for the clothes that He gives us. So one of the stories, Miuchalokai Melech, or Mandelbaum, brings down, that it's thanking Hashem for all the textures and the types of clothing. I say this bracha, and I feel my sleeve. And I say, wow, thank you, Hashem, for having cotton. Thank you, Hashem, for that I can have warm clothes in a cold day, or, you know, soft and fuzzy, or whatever it is, or silk, or whatever it is that you wear. Just to stop. And, you know, you take for granted, you put on clothes, like, who thinks about it? But no, I'm not only appreciating that I have clothes, but I'm appreciating the warmth that clothes gives me, and the softness that clothes affords me. It's a much deeper type of appreciation. And that's really, get the book when it comes out, my friends. It's going to be life-altering. Mir Tashem, Hashem should be good, is good, it could be, continue to be good, that we should actually see this into fruition. But this is the mindset we need to have. Now, if we understand that this is about being able to show gratitude, obviously, to our family members and to our friends, and to really just walk around all day appreciating it. Thank you. You know, like, knowing I was teaching this today, I had asked my Ozeret, my housekeeper, to clean the tables outside. We learn outside in Corona once a week. So I mentioned to her weeks ago, and then it's been raining. And today she went out and she cleaned everything up and straightened everything up. And I thanked her. But she's getting paid for this. Doesn't matter. Thank you. I appreciate it. These are the small things. And we have to get into the habit. If I understand this, my friends, I understand that we are the guest in the ultimate Bala Bayit house, in the ultimate house of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're a guest at His house. And we have to say, well, God, you have the sun shining anyway. Why should I thank you? No, thank you for the sun. Thank you for the air I breathe. Thank you for the water I drink. I thank you for everything. I don't take anything for granted. You know, says the Sefer, Achayim, which is Mamash Gevaldik 18:22. Not only are we in a Reach Ra that we don't appreciate all that Hashem gives us in the bold print, V'yoter Zahru, what's even stranger is, Kishar Reach Rotzel Lidchofu L'garesh Abal Bayim Mibeitam, when the guest wants to throw the host out of his house. The whole world belongs to Hashem. When a person sins, it's as if he's trying to pull Hashem away from this world. And to understand this, we have to realize the depth of what Hakar Satov is about. Now, truth be told, when we understand that we are so affected by the wiring and sensitivity and how careful we have to be, and the more that we do in kindness, the more it affects us in kindness. Know that the outside, what we see, impacts on who and what we are. We take in without even realizing it, language and nuances. And that's why we have to surround ourselves with proper people and good things, as Klal Yisrael did, by maintaining their identity of Kedusha, of holiness. And we understand that we have to realize that we have to be a giver, not a taker, not only literally, but in mindset, that I'm not deserving of anything. And if Hashem gives me something, I thank Him. And if He doesn't give me, that's also okay, because He is the host. I ask a host for a bottle of wine. You know, I'd like some wine. I'm sorry, I only have grape juice. What do I say? Oh, how do you not have wine? I wanted wine. Hello? Okay, so maybe we whine about much greater things than that. At the same time, we have to recognize that if this isn't, or the host knows, I'm going to be driving, I'm not giving you wine, it's not good for you. So instead of being angry, I have to appreciate, thank you. You know what you're doing. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate host. The truth is, my friends, we have inherited this trait genetically. Rabbi Roberts, through the Prism of Torah, an idea we've seen before, it all began 2 millennia earlier with Adam HaRishon, who allowed himself to be persuaded by Chava to eat from the tree of knowledge. After sinning, he tried to excuse his misconduct by saying to the Almighty, "It was the wife that you gave me that who led me astray." In other words, instead of feeling indebted for the wonderful gift of a partner and admitting to his own weakness and gullibility, he blamed the Almighty for having given him a mate, and by so doing, he displayed a lamentable lack of appreciation. Since, however, all human beings were sent from Adam, this character fault was transmitted to later generations. And Rabbi Roberts goes on to say that if you take a look at these parshios, you really see that this is the divide between Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu. Paro is kafui tov, he doesn't recognize goodness, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the exact opposite, who does recognize goodness, right? That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, by not striking the Nile, refuses to be in denial. And recognizes where it all comes from. What is the character trait that really defines Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro? Paro is the same letters as Ha'oref, the back of the neck. Arrogance, strength, brazenness, She'oref. Stiff-necked. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was an Anam Mikolato. He was the most humble of all people. And this is what you have to recognize. Moshe Rabbeinu, however, was the humblest 24B of men, expected nothing from anyone, and that type of person is always profoundly grateful for only help that he has given, even many years later, the Zichron Meir. And this, says the Emek HaBracha, Emek HaParsha, again in 27, U'bichlal HaKaras HaTov Ba'al Adam HaKarat Erech Shiflas Atzmo. From HaKaras HaTov comes a sense of humility. No one owes me anything. If someone does me a favor, I appreciate it. The opposite is somebody who has, I deserve everything. It's all about me. Now we can go back to our original questions on this first level. Says the Emek HaParsha, if we're speaking about how much sensitivity a person needs to have and how our actions affect us, therefore it goes to every single body of water, the canals, the rivers, the Nile, everything. Why? to show you to what extent you have to have a karsato. If it wasn't, then he didn't hit the Nile. But Moshe Rabbeinu then took the staff and hit the other bodies of water. To some degree, and again, this is a sensitivity, the pitch we're talking about, he would have been affected, that he is affecting water. And in his psyche, water protected him. Water is his name. Ki min ha-mayim mishitu. He was drawn from water. So for him to affect any other body of water, it would have on some level impinged his level of sensitivity, his level of hakaras hatov. That's to the extent that we have to be sensitive to this wiring. And with this, we can appreciate in 29, Vayasuke Moshe Aaron. Moshe and Aaron both did it. Ah, we asked, but only Aaron did it. Moshe also did it. What did he do? He did what Hashem was telling him. Don't do it. By not doing it, by being careful about his hakar satov, by being careful about that sensitivity that he needed to engender within himself, he was also doing the will of God. Sometimes doing the will of God is to be proactive and do something, and sometimes doing the will of God is to not do something and protect oneself. That, my friends, is level number one, the aspect of how careful we have to be. And the lesson, my friend, is so clear and so screaming out at us that we have to be people who are givers, we have to be people who are sensitive, we have to be people who appreciate. We appreciate the small and the large. We thank for everything that we have. We take nothing for granted. Thank you so much for going out of your way. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for thinking of me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that it brings into us being a giving type of person, a sensitive type of person, and ultimately it's about our relationship with Hashem, where I don't walk around thinking, hello God, like, where are you? I recognize whatever you give me, I show gratitude for it. And if you're not giving me this yet, it means I don't deserve this or don't need this just yet. That's idea one. Let's briefly look at idea number two. We'll begin again with Wallerstein, Rav Finkelstein's Sefer on Let There Be Rain. And he says, Rav Aaron Palm derives a practical lesson in Hakaras HaTov. 80 years had passed. The passage of time had not diminished Moshe's feeling obligation of Hakaras HaTov. Sometimes people have the mistaken attitude of, what has he done for me lately? They want to forget favors of days gone by to rationalize they're not helping their erstwhile benefactor. For Moshe Rabbeinu, we see that this attitude is wrong. And again, this is what we spoke about. Then, Moshe Rabbeinu did not bring the plague to lice upon the sand because he had benefited from it by using it to conceal the Egyptian who he had killed. He was right to kill the Egyptian who had been attacking a Jew, but he needed to conceal the act from the king so he would not be punished for it. Notes from Masechet Salmon Shlita that the sand did not help Moshe for too long. Soon after, someone informed on him to the king and he was forced to flee for his life. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu still felt indebted to the stand. We see from here that even if someone's benefit is not long-lasting, he still deserves our gratitude for doing that which has helped us in some way, at least temporarily. Now let's walk into the parameters of what Hakaras HaTov is about. Even if it didn't help for long. Thank you anyway. Let's see the extent of this. 31. The Ish L'Re'ehu quotes a piece from Rav Chaim Friedlander in Chelek Beis. He says, there's a mitzvah of pijon chamor, that we have to, that the donkeys are holy. Until today, we have this mitzvah of pijon chamor, petr chamor, l'dorei doros. Now, what did these donkeys do? That when the Klal Yisrael were leaving the Egypt, there were 90 donkeys, they say, many donkeys, that carried the Rechus Gadol, the booty. How did they get it all out of Egypt? They didn't have moving vans in those days. They put it on donkeys. The donkeys helped Klal Yisrael then, and until today, we're thankful for the donkeys. You think the donkeys were aware of what they were doing? No, they were donkeys. Doesn't matter. We benefited from the donkeys. They helped us out. We show gratitude to the donkeys. Somebody helps us out without even realizing it. We still say thank you. And you know where you see this even greater in 32? You see this by the dogs. We give, like Kelv Tashlich Rosso, the Trefa, the animals that you shech, that aren't kosher, you give them to the dog. Why do you give them to the dog? Because the dogs didn't bark when we left Egypt, right? We were able to leave quietly. Hello! They didn't bark! Right? That's what we did. They stopped from barking. We still thank him. And we have the mitzvah giving it to them. Adayom Haseh. Wow. You know what a karsa tov is about? We think if somebody consciously did something for me, and it was worth my while, and it lasted, then I have to thank you. Whoa. It didn't last Moshe Rabbeinu so long. He's still saying thank you to the sand. The donkeys didn't even realize what they were doing. The dogs didn't do something. We say thank you. Let's take it even further. Tzichos Musar, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, 33. When Moshe Rabbeinu saves the daughters of Yitro, they say, Ish Mitzri Etzilani, a Egyptian saved us. So the Medrash said, this is compared to a man bitten by a lizard who ran to place his feet, in water, which was a remedy. When he put them in the river, he saw a child drowning. He reached out and saved him. The child exclaimed, if it's not for you, we're going to drown. To which the man replied, it was not I who saved you, but the lizard who bit me and for which I escaped. Thus the daughters of Yisro told Moshe, thank you for saving us. To which Moshe replied, it's the Egyptian who I killed on whose account I was subsequently forced to run away who saved you. Therefore they said to the father, an Egyptian saved us. Whoa! Moshe Rabbeinu, having killed the Egyptian, then lands up here. Ish Mitzri Etzilani. It's the Egyptian who saved us. It did not suffice them to be thankful to Moshe alone, so it's not enough to thank only the man who did the act of rescuing. So it's incumbent upon them to discover the cause and drives behind the act and acknowledge them accordingly, even if one who caused it had no intention whatsoever to do us any good, and even if they may be far removed from any intended benevolence, as the Egyptian or the lizard. Another example. Reuven, the pasuk says, Vayishma Reuven, Vayitzilim, Yadav, Reuven wanted to go save Yosef Tzadik. I've seen this example before. Medrash says, why did he want to save Moshe Rabbeinu? Why did he want to save Yosef Tzadik? Because Yosef had a dream that 11 stars were bowing down to him. Said Reuven to himself, I was always worried that after I did this act of moving the beds of my father's tent, I was excluded from being one of the 12 tribes. Now that I see that 11 stars are bowing down to Yosef, I'm one of the stars, and I see I'm included in the Jewish people. I owe a debt of gratitude to Yosef Atzadi. Yosef Atzadi had no intention of giving Reuven this piece of information. It even came from God, not even from Yosef. Nevertheless, Reuven felt, even though it was a base thing to kill him, Reuven felt such a karas hatov that he had to stand up and save Yosef HaTzadik. That's the extent that we're talking about of the amount of a karas hatov that we need to have. 37, a karas hatov demands that a person acknowledge every benefactor, no matter how remotely connected, nor is his motive a consideration. So great is the obligation for a karas hatov that no effort is seen as too difficult. But most important, it's not a mere burden, an obligatory debt, but rather it's the will of Hashem. It's the perspective and understanding the word of Hashem, which the Emek HaParsha takes one step deeper. This is very deep, my friends. Let's see if we can hold it. He says, Bechol davar shenimsa b'briya, everything that's found in creation, sarich adam litein dato, a person has to pay attention and see that from a different perspective, l'stakel ha-mazavit shona la-hurgal, that we're used to. Every single thing that's found in the world, every single thing we encounter is not here, stop. Not here for naught. If you utilize that thing, you gain benefit from it. Then you realize that Hashem created it for you. It may be here just for you. You may be the only one benefiting from it. You may see a snail and say, wow, Hashem, my Rabbi, my Zech Hashem. I feel so close to you from seeing that snail. That snail was created for you. Thank you, Hashem. V'imkein ha-ketzad yihid l'zozel b'davar shebarah b'ravarah. And if that's the case, then you have to treat with respect every single thing that was created. Hashem created it for you to benefit from it. You need to acknowledge to that thing that this is Ritzon Hashem, the will of God, and you need to acknowledge to Hashem, thank you. Thank you for giving me these clothes. Thank you for giving me whatever it is. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I acknowledge it. And you know, my friends, if we take this one step deeper, the Pnei Chaim points out really, it's not just thanking for the objects that are found in my world. It's really thanking Hashem for all the people found in my world. Because every person whom I interact with is giving me something. And I gain something from them. And I have to thank them and Hashem for them. And that should be my mindset. When I meet somebody, ask myself, what can I learn from them? What can I gain from them? Not just if they give me something, but just being in their presence, I've gained. I learn a certain mita, I learn a certain posture, I learn a certain mindset. I'm indebted to you. Thank you for teaching me this. My mindset is that I'm looking for opportunities to become better. And I realize that if Hashem has granted me this person in front of me, that I have there to learn from. I'm the wise one who learns from everyone. So this is obviously true of everyone we meet. And of course, it's true of everyone whom I benefit from. I thank the grocery man, and I thank the people who bring the milk to the grocery man, and I thank the people who milk the cars, the cows, not the cars, the cows, to be able to have the milk for everyone. We're all interconnected. We're all interrelated. Omnam Lutzarenu in 41, Rabim Hem Kfuye Tova, Sheinam Makirim, B'Tovatu Latam, Midraksim, Rakbanat Atzvam, Milui Ritzonotayim. The problem is, there are people who are so self-centered that all they think about is themselves. And they don't realize that you need to be appreciative and thank Hashem, L'Omek Yumo Hayom Yomi, and our daily ability to live. And that we're all interconnected to be able to help each other out. This one gives me that, that one gives me this, I give this one a compliment, I give one a thank you. It's a giving-taking relationship. V'alakol, the end of 41, for our souls that are here. And that's the extent. That's the wholeness of this. You know, if we understand that saying a karsa tov, expressing a karsa tov, is even the most far-fetched ways, right? The donkey, the dog that doesn't bark, it's everything that I have to live a world appreciation of. Rufe, who Yosef is having a dream and he thanks him, and the lizard that bites, and the Shmitzri, it's in all of this. So then I can appreciate, says the Gan Na'ul, a very interesting Zach in 42 and 43. He says, the Pasuk says, by Yocheved, v'lo yachlo od hatzpino, she couldn't hide him anymore. Vatikach lo tevas gomeh, she takes that, she makes that little basket. Vatesem ba et hayelet, vatesem besuf al svat hayor, she puts him at the edge of the river. Says Rashi, vatesem besuf, what is the suf? By the yor, he lashon agam, it's an agam. What's an agam? So the Gan Na'ul shows from different other sources, agam was a part of the water that really, like a marsh, that really wasn't the water itself. It had a little bit of water in it, but it wasn't the main part of the water, because if it was the main part of the water, the baby would just, you know, go floating off. So when Batparo went down, Lurchot, she went down to wash in the water, she saw in the marshlands by the water, she saw this infant, and that's where she stretched her arm in the marshland to get it. Which means, my friends, that according to this, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't even hidden in the water. Kimina Mai Mishitiu means I drew him out when I went down to get him water. It was close to the water. So the water is not what saved Moshe Rabbeinu, it was the cause, by going down to the water, that saved her. And that was enough for Moshe Rabbeinu not to strike the water or any other water. Because even being near water, with a little bit of water, but not really water, that was enough to show a Karas HaTov. That's the extent of a Karas HaTov that we need to have. You know, just to end with two stories. One in 45, Rav Chaim Palashi tells the story of a woman, a tzaddikus, who accidentally cursed her chatzer, her courtyard. And when Rav Chaim Palashi heard about this, he took a minion of people to turn the klal to bracha, and the woman had to ask forgiveness, levakesh mechila al shir kilalat ha chatzer, for cursing the courtyard, and this is what she said: "Chatati l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, I have sinned to the God of Israel, v'lach ha'chatzer, and you the courtyard, v'ani mevakeshe mechila makadosh baruch hu mimech, and I'm asking forgiveness from God and from the courtyard." Whoa. Let me end with one final story, which I think demonstrates this idea of to what extent our Hakaras HaTov has to be. Stories told of Rav Shachnitzer, right? Big Gadol Hador, in his 90s. He heard about a certain Rebbetzin cook in Tveria, who was Nifteret, who died, and he insisted in his 90s to do the trip up to Tveria, which is a drive, right? Today we have these highways that you don't even have a traffic light, but then the 6 wasn't, and the other weren't there yet. So it was a drive, and he insisted, again, elderly, walking up all the stairs to the apartment, and spent a good amount of time there. And his shamish, his tamidim said, like, you know, you could have sent somebody else. Like, you didn't have to be matriach yourself. So he says, I'll tell you why I went. He says, many, many years ago, the Briska Rav lost his wife, and he came to Eretz Yisrael. He had to take care of his children. He was mother and father. And one of his children became very, very ill, and the Briska Rav was taking care of him night and day. And then Baruch Hashem, the child got better, and one of his talmidim said, you know what, in order to recuperate, it would be better for him to be in Tveria, the heir of Tveria, and I know this family, the Rav and Rebbetzin cook, who will take care of this child. And that's what they did. They took care of the child for X amount of time till the child became well enough and then went back to the Briska Rav. So Rav Shach said, what does this have to do with me? Right, this was the Briska Rav. He says, I'll tell you. I was learning with the Briska Rav at this particular time, says Rav Shach. When the child was sick, the Briska Rav could not focus on his learning. He was totally focused on taking care of this child. When Rabbi and Rebbetzin Cook took care of the child, then Briska Rav felt like the child was in good hands and he could go back to learn. My learning was enhanced because the Briska Rav could now focus completely on the learning so that I benefit from the learning, and I benefited from the fact that Rebbetzin Cook took care of the Briska Rav's child so that my learning could be affected, and that is why at 90 plus he went to Tveria and spent 15 minutes to be Menachem Avil for Rebbetzin Cook of something that he benefited from indirectly, my friends. We should be inspired to appreciate all that happens to us and be able to open our eyes to a larger picture, that everyone we meet, everyone we encounter, there's so much goodness being given to us. And instead of having I deserve attitude, why don't I have, be able to just to appreciate, to show thanks, and to be somebody who's part of this glorious gratitude world.